Danilana Kitchen talks about food. Danilana Kitchen talks recipes. Danilana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Danilana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We meet here every week, Tuesday at noon, here in beautiful downtown Ames, at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. And this is a community radio station. We're all volunteers, more or less. We do this because we like to. And we get by with a little help from our friends, too.
Support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames, community-owned, community-focused since 1974, open daily, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
Well, for weeks and weeks, things Donna and I have been saying, oh, it's spring, and the weather kind of
Technically, it is spring, okay? It is spring.
So we are technically correct, and there is sunshine today, and I hope you've been able to get out in your garden. Hope you have your potatoes in. I got them in a couple weeks ago, and there's more good stuff to go into. So, yes, it is
spring. I have a few wild things sprouting up.
There's green stuff.
And my lovage is up.
Ha. All right. Good food
is coming up. My garlic
chives
are up.
All right. Good food is springing out of the garden even as we speak. Today we're going to talk about gardens and talk about gardens in yards and perhaps in other unusual places. The world needs more gardens. We have a special guest for that. And we'll consider some creative cooking from an unlikely source. Both Donna and I have been, of all things, reading about life and food in prison. Stick around for that later in the show. Growing food and eating it is an art, a pleasure, a wonderful expression of what it means to be human. We all eat, but not too many of us think about growing our own anymore. Many of us live in homes surrounded by lawns, lots of green grass. We mow it, but we don't get much food value out of it. What if we had more vegetables growing around our homes? What if we needed a little help getting started? What if we needed help maintaining that garden? Today in our kitchen,
we all need a little help.
We all need a little help. We have a young man here that has thought a lot about that problem.
We all need a little help from a young man, too.
That's good. Yeah. Lots of good things here. Today in our studio, we have Joshua Walters. He has a wonderful solution to getting us to think about gardens. Welcome to the Danilana Kitchen, Joshua.
Hi.
I met this fine young man last year. He was giving away free little seedlings at the Ames Farmers Market. Anybody giving away something free and talk gardening. And this young man has a desire and an ability to help others garden. He has come up with a wonderful concept, and this word is great. He has come up with yardens, as in gardens in your yard. Yardens.
And Joshua is a graduate of the ISU Hort Department,
yep,
Fruits and Vegetables, so he knows what he's doing.
Thank goodness. Tell us about yardens, and tell us about your journey to where you are now.
Well, I really like to eat food, so I decided that everybody needs to eat food, and what way could I grow vegetables and be able to eat food and have all that without actually having a farm growing it in your backyard? So I started figuring out how to come up with a garden size and how much production it would take to feed a family and all that kind of stuff. Contacted other businesses that had started up this last year doing the same thing.
In other parts of the country.
Yeah, right? In California, Texas, mostly around the coast and stuff.
But we do have a shorter growing season.
We do have a shorter growing season, but we actually have longer days than they do down there. So,
so what Joshua is proposing is his little brochure. It says, Walter's Custom Yardens. Just relax and watch your garden grow. So he will come in, put the whole thing in.
Yes, ma'am.
Maintain it, and all you have to do is pick it and eat it.
Now, that is a win-win for us all. My goodness. My goodness. I think doing that sounds like an awful lot of work from the get-go, but with your experience, How do you decide what a family needs or what a yard needs? How do you get started?
Based on family size.
How do you get started?
It's based on family size. Uh-huh. So a two-person family would probably have a 5 by 10. And then a 4-person family would have a 10 by 10. And then if you have a large family or like to throw a lot of parties, 10 by 20 would probably be for 6 or more people. And it
depends on the size of your garden. I mean, your yard, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that also does come into factor.
And you must need a sunny spot, right?
Oh, yeah. And no walnut or... Yeah, walnut trees.
Mm-hmm. No walnut trees.
That helps,
No Huglands.
There's a constant fight out there. There's a battle of the titans out there.
It's true. I'm always pulling them out of my flower beds.
Yeah, they.
I don't even know where they come from.
Squirrels.
Oh, of
there
course.
You go. There you go. So if you you have a business that comes to people's homes and you put in a garden for them, my first thought is you're dealing with a lawn. You're dealing with grass. How in the world do you
Creeping Charlie.
Oh, all that stuff. Huh. How do you put a garden in on top of all or into that all of that stuff?
Well, I check the soil, do some pH testing and that kind of stuff. If it needs amendments or, you know, a lot of the yards that I'm looking at are well manicured, so they already have nice good topsoil, but about 2-3 inches down they do have clay. So they do need, you know, a little raised bed. Most of the pesticides and stuff you don't have to worry about because I'm not going to be spraying that. And if it's a raised bed, then they shouldn't have to worry about that in the garden.
Oh, I would think about that because so many lawns have been sprayed with
True
heaven
green.
Knows what. Yes, yeah. All that stuff. But when you're thinking about eating that sort of thing, perhaps not.
Mm-hmm.
So you do raised beds when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then so now is the time of year you're putting things in.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And what about maintaining all of this stuff?
Yeah, I come back. There's several options for depending on how involved you like to be in your garden. If I don't want to touch it or I don't have the time, it's every 2 weeks I come in. If you like to have a little time or you want to try and be involved but you're not exactly sure, there's the monthly option. Or if you really want to be involved and you're like, I can handle most of it, just come and check on it every once in a while, then that's the seasonal do-it-yourselfer. And it just all depends on what you want to do and how much you're trying to get out of it. I mean, and I have plenty of vegetables to choose from. There's 95 vegetables to choose from.
Oh, my goodness.
How does one decide what's reasonable?
I spent about an hour and a half with most people going over what vegetables taste like what and which they would like to have. And
well, actually having someone there all year who not only put in the garden in your backyard, but have someone – I assume you're available for consultation.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good.
in his brochure, he's got these suggestions for gardens, bundled options for your cooking needs. There's the basic, which is lettuce, broccoli, cabbage, green beans, kale, Brussels sprouts, spinach, tomato, zucchini, yellow squash, watermelon. Watermelon must take a lot of room, doesn't it?
Well, everything's grown vertically, so it takes less of a footprint.
Oh! How do you keep the watermelons hanging up there when they get heavy?
Supported. There's clips, and then you put a netted bag with the clip.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Must be interesting. But you can also have an Italian garden, a Spanish garden, a Greek garden, or an Oriental garden. Or some combination thereof,
yeah, I assume. Yeah, you can make up your own garden however you want. It's just these are suggestions based on, like the Greek has kale, marjoram, and different herbs and stuff that are found in that type of food. Spanish has a lot of stuff that's found in that type of food. Italian has, you know, the zucchini, butternut squash, eggplant, all that kind of stuff that's found in there, oregano and herbs and rosemary. The Oriental has the bok choy, the broccoli, the cabbages, and all that kind of stuff for your stir fries. And, you know, it depends on what you want to grow in your garden. There's one place that just is doing just their lettuce bar. It's going to be lettuce, tomato, and cucumbers for the lettuce bar.
Well, that sounds
good. Put some basil in there, too.
If they want it.
See, they will. They will.
That's something. Food is a very personal thing. Getting people to try new things. If you are married to someone who is used to meat, potatoes, and the green thing on the side that you push away, getting people to taste things is amazing. Granted, people are going to ask for the usual stuff, but part of the joy of gardening is getting people to try new things. And you mentioned that you like to eat, which I do too. Mm-hmm. So proselytizing do you do? Try this. There's so many good things.
Yeah.
How do you talk to people about vegetables?
Usually with recipes. Like I was saying, I really like the zucchini garlic bread. It's pretty much you slice the zucchini long ways, about a quarter inch thick. Then you put olive oil. You put aluminum foil down, olive oil, put the zucchini down, a little bit of olive oil, salt, pepper, fresh minced garlic. And then when I say pack, I mean you pack the Parmesan cheese on there.
Okay? Push it in.
Yeah, push it down in there. And you want to cook it for probably about a half hour or until you can take a spatula underneath the zucchini and pick it up and it doesn't bend. And then it tastes like garlic bread with a bunch of nice Parmesan.
A fine use for that zucchini, and even if perhaps that zucchini has gone a little farther than one would normally try. That's part of the panic here. I mean, people grow these vegetables, and oh, my goodness, we don't like to throw things away. We walked into the studio today, Donna and I, and there was on the counter, we get little notes from other people that work here at the station. There was a note and two eggplants sitting there saying, "For Donalana Kitchen, I don't know what to do with these." Well, you know, of course, I didn't grow up with eggplant. That was a foreign food. And so any little bit of help we can give one another, I think it's a wonderful opportunity you have to talk to people about good food.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking to Donna and I earlier, Joshua, about there's yards and there's places you can put a garden pretty much any place given enough sun and place. But you were given quite a large commission recently. Tell me about that.
I'm working on a contract for a nursing home to produce 40 pounds of tomatoes, 40 pounds of cucumbers, 40 pounds of zucchini, 20 pounds of squash, and then 50 heads of lettuce, 40 heads of broccoli, 30 heads of cabbage, and then 12 bunches of cilantro and 12 bunches of basil every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Yes, folks, it can be done. Now, that sort of order would kind of set me back. And this starts with putting the garden in the first place. Tell me where this tell me what sort of surface you're putting this on.
It's clay and kind of rocky, and I'm going to have to put in about 10 tons of topsoil. In a raised bed to be able to do this. And it's about 10 by 80.
Oh, that is a big gem.
Are the residents of the nursing home going to help you?
Yes, ma'am. It is a ALF, so they're in there for rehab and, you know, daily motor skills and dexterity of their fingers and stuff.
So picking.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get out there and pick the zucchini and tomatoes and stuff, and nothing too strenuous, you know. Work on
no watermelons.
No, nothing too heavy. No. And that's another thing about the trellising is that it's all going to be right there at their height, so they don't have to worry about bending over too much to try and pick that stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Great idea. Talk about garden therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you can go vertical a lot if you just fuss a little bit at the beginning. That's good. Is this nursing home project, this is new this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah.
But hopefully it will continue.
Yep. Yes, because, I mean, it's a large investment. So, I mean, if they invest in it this year, then there's no reason they shouldn't keep doing it. And it's going to ultimately save them. I'm projecting it's probably going to be about half of their cost.
Food costs.
Yeah, it'll probably save half.
What a good idea.
Wow.
They're going to eat this stuff, too.
Yes.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's a good use of a yarden. Put in a garden that not only you can eat out of, but that everyone can enjoy.
And has therapeutic value.
Very good.
And everybody likes to we've had debates in class, and maybe we can try and settle this between the three of us on the air. Is there a difference in flavor between a Hy-Vee tomato and a fresh-picked tomato from your garden?
I am very prejudiced because I have my tomatoes are like right there out my back door. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I mean, if they're getting it shipped up from Texas, wherever they're getting it shipped from, it's got to be picked at least breaker. So that's still kind of green. Sugars haven't fully developed.
That's especially with tomatoes, that's true.
Yeah.
So if you if you're picking them when they're fully, fully ripe, of course they have higher Brix.
Mm-hmm. And
that's higher sweetness.
Sugar content.
Brix is a
measure of sugar in vegetables and fruits.
Mm-hmm. I can taste it in greens too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fresh, fully ripened head of lettuce compared to that's almost ripened and they head it. Send it.
And it sat there in plastic. And it sat there in a cooler for a while. And heaven knows what, yes. Well, I often refer to, well, I break down every now and then. I mean, in the winter, you know, you want a little salad, tomato. Yeah, there we go. But there's these things you get. And I refer to them as tomato-like objects. You know, they're there. Yeah.
And, well, in the shape and the color of a tomato.
We try. The joy and the absolute good taste you can have of by having your own garden out your back door.
I have to say, I don't eat tomatoes if they're out of season.
No,
except canned tomatoes or something like that. There's a season for tomatoes.
And I've really gotten picky. I really like the off kind. I don't like the regular reds that much anymore. Like I was telling you guys, I really like those
Cherokees. The heirlooms.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And the black crims and kind of stuff.
Do you have any luck talking your customers into a tomato that is not red? Or you're still
not
working
yet.
On that?
I'm working on it. It's just everybody that tasted it, all my friends that tasted it, want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I didn't It's being able to get someone to try it and realize the flavor and depth of the difference. I mean, like even oranges have a different flavor, you know? I mean,
oh yeah, it's a varietal question. How many varieties of tomatoes are you planting this year, Lana?
On my farm, because we've discussed this before, I do have a problem. I should go to Tomatoes Anonymous. I've got about 30 varieties started because I just like to do it. And yes. Each one,
see, Josh,
they're delicious.
Each one is worth it.
Absolutely,
and
it's candy.
You are just Joshua. You are starting out with your Yardens project. Actually, you're in. This is your first year. Or your second year.
This is my first year. I've been working on this, and I've helped a teacher with her garden, vegetable garden, mm-hmm. for about 3 years. And I've had my own garden going on. I've been in school, and I've also been in the field since I was 17. So. I've done a lot of stuff.
So one thing about growing food and one thing about gardens is that you can't rush things. It does take a year. So you and I can talk about, these tomatoes taste great. You really wait until you can give samples out in the fall and mm-hmm. then come around. Because it does take a while. Patience. And also for your customers that have the gardens in the backyard, are these people that have never gardened, always? I mean,
I'm getting all kinds.
Oh, good.
My one teacher, they've had a garden and it's been slowly declining in productivity. I'm actually needing to do a copper fungicide and that kind of stuff, then redoing it, and also an infusion of fertilizer to help growth and everything, because they said that they just had, like, no production last year. And, I mean, it's a huge garden. It's 25 by 45. So, I mean, it's not like they haven't been working on it. And so I'm working on that with them, and other people that were with a CSA are now doing this because they get to the choice of their own vegetables.
So explain how this is sort of like having your own CSA in your backyard.
So it's pretty much set up like the cost of a CSA of, you know, you get to choose your vegetables. It's all set up and everything, and you're pretty much paying the farmer. I am a farmer. That's essentially what I am. I am an urban farmer. Instead of having a farm on the outskirts or out in the middle of nowhere, I'm in your backyard.
No delivery issues.
Exactly.
Genius.
I don't want to go to this delivery place. Oh, it's out back? Okay.
You don't want to keep a truck running. That's another expense, too.
Well, yeah,
or
that
at least a delivery truck running.
Or
yes.
Spots to have it set up at, yes, or, yeah. you mm-hmm. know, times and all that kind of stuff.
It's a good model. The idea of watching your vegetables grow in your yard as opposed to knowing that they're growing on somebody else's
field.
I think
it'd be a wonderful thing to do for families.
The kids love them.
Yeah.
Because they get I was talking to someone about sugar snap peas earlier.
Oh, sugar snap peas.
I can't remember who I was talking to. I'm sorry. I had a meeting earlier. Must have been them. But wanted sugar snap peas, and kids not liking that kind of stuff. And then when it's fresh in front of them that they had the chance to do, they're like, oh, I love this. Oh, these are my tomatoes? Oh, what's broccoli? You know, like, so the kids are wanting to try and learn more, you know, especially if it's available.
It is a little more exciting if you see it grow and then you pick it yourself. And you know, it's something we've kind of gotten away from. So Joshua is offering the opportunity to pay someone to do the garden if you don't have time for it yourself.
That's a fine, fine service.
I think it is, too.
You are listening to KHOI 89.1 Story City Ames and lots of towns all around Central Iowa. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are talking to Joshua Walters. He has a wonderful urban garden business. He can come and do it for you, folks. We are talking about growing food in backyards, even backyards of people who don't even know how to garden yet. But Joshua can help you. Yes, you can. I wanted to ask you, Joshua, about taking care of these gardens that you put in. Urban gardening, and actually any kind of gardening, can have lots of creatures that like vegetables just as much as we do. What do you do about raccoons and all sorts of stuff? We had a caller that called in and asked about, in his neighborhood there was corn growing and everybody was looking forward to it and the raccoons showed up. How do you address that problem?
Raccoons can climb pretty much on anything, but mostly what I was going to be doing was chicken wires because I pretty much just have to keep the owner's dogs out because most of them have fences around their property to keep the deer out of their property. So the rabbits and that kind of stuff will be kept out by chicken wire that's about knee to thigh high on me, and the dogs usually probably won't get in there unless they jump over it. But
dogs can keep the coons away.
Mm-hmm. And we can put in taller ones if they want a taller fence. I mean, it depends on if they don't have a fence.
Are you recommending corn in your gardens?
No, ma'am.
Ah, why?
Deerdorf.
Yeah.
It's Iowa. Sweet corn is everywhere. Yeah. It's not production-wise cost-effective.
Right. Takes a lot of space.
Yes, it does.
Attracts the raccoons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pesky animals.
We can do that. We don't have to grow everything in our garden. Just some really hand. And I have some experience. I kind of follow a model called permaculture. I like that sort of thing. One of the things they talk about is think about your life and your garden and your environment as zones. Close to your kitchen, think of zone one. Put things close. I was told that the best thing you can do is plant your herb garden so that you can go out in the morning in your slippers and your cup of coffee to snip off some herbs, to come on back in and add it to your omelet as you're making
Yes,
it.
And that's why those are often called kitchen gardens, right? Mm-hmm. Outside the mm-hmm. back door.
That's perfect. And then the stuff you don't need to visit until later, eggplants perhaps, or tomatoes when they're ripe, put them a little farther away. That's zone two and three. And if bigger places, you can get into like your grazing, put your bison in your cow.
And where are you putting those 30 varieties of tomatoes?
Well, they're kind of in between my zone two and my zone three, if I'm being fussy about it. Talk more, Joshua, about you mentioned growing things vertically. What can grow vertically? I mean, as opposed to saving space on the ground, what do you make going up?
So Donna had mentioned the watermelon takes a lot of place, a lot of spot, space. Uh-huh. One watermelon plant is theoretically supposed to take up 2x8.
Yes.
So if you turn that and go up and have it 8 foot tall, you have a 2 foot footprint.
And how does that not shade other things?
You want some shade on certain things during the middle of summer, like spinach,
clever
lettuce.
Clever lad. Oh, yes. Good idea.
Education.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good job, ISU. This guy knows a lot. Good. Oh, so watermelon, what are some of the things that you
tomato, cucumber, zucchini, squash, eggplant, peppers, butternut squash, cantaloupe, spaghetti squash.
Ha. Huh.
Some of the peppers are indeterminate, which means they're more of a bush, but they're mm-hmm. still mm-hmm. going to be grown up. Mm-hmm.
Since you're dealing in a relatively small space, putting companion plants next to one another, or like you mentioned, growing things underneath. Vegetables do come and go. What about when the first flush of the spring vegetables is done, like the lettuce kind of gives up the ghost? What happens then?
I replant lettuce or broccoli. Every time I come with new plants.
Oh, you put in plants, huh?
Mm-hmm. It cycles. I just replant your plants that you've chosen. So like Donna was saying, there was the different packages to choose from. So the lettuce, broccoli, cabbage, kale, and spinach, cilantro, parsley, dill would all be replaced probably at least four or more times, depending on which package you chose.
So you're keeping the cilantro and the dill going all summer?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, fantastic.
Well, because you don't want to not have cilantro in the middle of summer when you got your tomatoes and you're going to make your salsa, right?
It's true.
This is a
it's
wise true. Man here. This is good. This is good. Wonderful.
I love to eat, so I thought a lot about. I spent a year and a half working on the business plan to, mm-hmm. to get it going.
Oh, Josh, this is great. Now we forgot to say how people can find you.
They can find me.
Find you?
Yeah.
Not
if
find
they
you,
want
find
you to
you.
Come and plant a garden.
Yes, ma'am. They can contact you? Me at Joshua@WaltersCustomYardens.com. That's Joshua@WOLTERS. Custom, and that's Yardens with a Y, ARDENS.com. And then my phone number would be 515-745-5834. And I'm also on Facebook at Walters Custom Yardens.
There you go.
WOLTERS.
Yes, ma'am, WO.
And I love this Yardens concept.
So I thought I was being all clever about that and coming up with a word on my own. It's already in the dictionary.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So a yarden is a totally edible garden. Everything in the garden is edible. All the flowers, everything. And with this, you can have squash blossoms fried up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there, Donna and I have talked before about many, many things you can eat. We like to encourage people to try new things, including edible flowers.
Yeah, I plant a lot of, I mean, I'm certainly not much of a gardener. I do a lot of flowers and a lot of herbs. And, borage is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little plot of comfrey that comes back every year.
Savory? Do you have any savory?
I haven't.
No? No summer or winter savory?
No, I haven't planted a lot of savory. We do have lovage. Lana and I both grow lovage. And I think this year I'm going to... Well, we do lots of different kinds of basil because we like to dry our basil.
Mm-hmm.
Lana's much more. How many basils are we doing this year, Lana?
How many are we doing? I have 5 or 6 different kinds planted. Because why not? Why not? I mean, yes.
I like the lime basil, but I'm
the,
a citrus guy.
The lime is the best. I have trouble.
I'll put some this year.
I have trouble. But let's say the lime and the lemon are lemon basils are a bit more
touchy
about germinating. You can put it in and you wait and wait and wait and then it comes up, but they must be a little more less hardy or something.
Well, it's because the citrus, it's if you think about it, they're used to nice. Their fluctuation in time is for going from a 12-12 to a 10-14. Our fluctuation time is
which means what? 12-12?
Their time of daylight. Stuff for germination periods and stuff. And then up here, we go from an 8 to a 16 back down to an 8.
That's right. It's
all based on timing and stuff like that.
Oh, the magic of day length.
Are you growing Mrs. Burns's lemon basil again this year?
Yes, I don't know who Mrs. Burns's is.
Really lemony.
It is. I like it a lot.
It's almost lemon balmy.
Yeah, it is.
For basil, it's pretty lemon balmy.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a clearer tone. Lemon balm has more of a vegetal kind of flavor when you cook it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is still a basil. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, and it's really, I can't think of anyone to trust to help with my gardening than someone who likes to eat. This is not just a horticultural experiment. This is not just agronomics or, economies of scale.
It's a certain gusto.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle for a change for real. I mean, by having your vegetables in your backyard and knowing what you're going to have in advance, you can plan your whole meals for the month. Like, you don't have to be like, well, what am I going to go get fresh from the store this week? What am I going to have fresh this week? I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. We have, 6 zucchini in this, and, we have a whole bunch of tomatoes, and we have salads, and cooked, I may have had a kale soup. That stuff was delicious.
Well, yeah. I like this kind of cooking. I really always encourage people to not pick out a recipe and go and buy the ingredients, but rather look what's available seasonally, locally, and if you're growing it, you're going to have a lot of options, and then make something out of what you have.
Oh, the awful problem to have of too much food. Oh, shucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can't have vegetable guilt. So if you're having this garden, you're going to want to harvest it all and make good use of it.
Yeah.
And remember, there's neighbors. So if you, go ahead and share. Go ahead and have the neighbors in. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing. Just think, fresh vegetables right out of your backyard. This is KHOI, Donna Lana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Not all of us have a lawn that we can turn into a garden. Some folks, I hear that's quite a large number of our brothers and sons and mothers and daughters, are in prison. Let's take time to consider getting food to eat in prison. A lot of problems going on there, and food, I think, is kind of one of them. Donna and I have both been reading books about prison. Tell us about what you've been reading, Donna.
I would say on the happier note that in California there are prison gardens.
Yes, here and there.
A good thing. A book that I have taken a look at, which is not for the faint of heart, but if you don't know about these things, we really should at least be aware of it. One of the things that is going on is large numbers of people in this country are incarcerated. I believe we have the highest per capita incarceration rate of anywhere in the country, much higher than even countries where we think they're all living in gulags like Russian. We have more people in prison than any other place on the planet. There is a book. It's called Hell is a Very Small Place. This is a new book, Voices from Solitary Confinement. It's edited by Jean Casella, James Ridgway, and Sarah Sherrood. Now, Sarah Sherrood, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, is one of the young Americans that spent a good bit of time in an Iranian prison. So she came home with some personal experience. The book is a compilation of different people writing about their experiences in solitary confinement, and it's tough stuff. There's also an introduction in the beginning of the book that tells, you know, how in this country we've moved away from the sort of rehabilitation attitude that we used to have in prisons. You know, lots of people make terrible mistakes when they're very, very young. And we've come to the point where we're really, really big on punishment. You know, you just lock them up and throw away the key instead of trying to make their lives better. So if you need reminders about this to sort of have a sober perspective on some things that are going on, Hell is a Very Small Place, Voices from Solitary Confinement.
And like Joshua Walters and Donna and I were talking about, everyone has to eat. I picked up a book at the Ames Public Library called Prison Ramen, Recipes and Stories from Behind Bars. A little, I can't say it's a little lighter book, but for every little autobiographical sketch in here and every little story of prison life, not exactly a good place to be, there is a little ray of hope because every page has a recipe on it based on foods that inmates can have access to. Ramen is kind of the basis for a lot of this stuff. And you think, well, okay, that doesn't sound so good. However, the concept of being able to make something for yourself in prison.
Cooking.
You can put however you do it. And also the concept of sharing what you cook. That is a very important thing. This book, Prison Ramen, Recipes and Stories from Behind Bars, is by Clifton Collins, who is a actor based in California, and Gustavo Goose Alvarez, who is a former California inmate who currently resides in Mexico. Like I said, there's stories in here about how important it is because here's a little bit from the book here. If you find yourself being arrested with no money in your pocket, you're going to be screwed once you get into prison. If you don't have financial support, you're doubly screwed. Without money, you can't get anything from the commissary, and the commissary is a big part of what makes life worth living. If you're indigent, you get state issue, this and that, toothbrush, toothpaste, body soap, that sort of thing, all which is kind of like low-bid stuff. And without money, there's no way to get better supplies of everything. Everybody also gets state-issue breakfast, sack lunch, and dinner. The menu is usually the same food every day of the week. And the food at the prison that he was talking about in California had no salt, no pepper, no spices. Without money, that's what you eat until you gag. That was his experience. And there's other stories in here. There's different ways that people cook in prison. It talks about that, too. Sometimes if you're in solitary confinement or really harsh conditions, sometimes hot water from the tap is about it. But there's all sorts of things, suggestions in here on how to cook. And being able to get food from the commissary is important.
Obviously very limited choices.
Limited choice. But you can start out with things. A lot of it starts out with ramen. It's kind of your base here. Here's a recipe for a sweet and crunchy salad. two packages chili flavor ramen, 1 cup water, 1/2 can of Coca-Cola. Sweet and low, pinch of garlic powder, pork skins or rinds, honey, butter, strawberry jelly, some soy sauce, and a tablespoon of chili garlic sauce, and, if you can get it, 1 cup packaged salad mix, chopped up in a bag.
Oh, my.
And there you go. Crush all this stuff together, and you soak it until the ramen is soft. You mix it into a salad. Stir well. So, like I said, it's spoken, a lot of, all these recipes are here based on ramen, huh? That's a good idea. Here we go. Frankie's soup in the hole. 1 cup hot water, 1 cup noodles, any flavor, cup of noodles, and 1 beef and cheese stick, such as Slim Jim. Because there's no boiling water in the hole, this is solitary confinement, get hot water from the sink, as hot as you can get it. Pour the water over the ramen. Cover and let sit for 5 minutes. And then break the beef sticks in. Stir and enjoy. And enjoy, if you're not in the hole, if you're in the part of prison that is called Gen Pop, general population, you can invite your fellow inmates to join you. It's the idea of joining you for a cup of something, for a birthday cake made out of Hostess Ho-Hos, or I don't think there was any ramen in those. Perhaps there was. I don't remember. But all sorts of interesting how to get by in prisons here. And also, if you, there was a story of creative ways to cook. There are microwaves available in a lot of places, in the minimum security places, and people can use that sort of things. But there was a story in here about, and maybe that's still going on, to heat up something. If you're really clever, you can use your metal locker and kind of hot wire the metal locker, a shelf in there, and use it as a hot plate. One could, and it was, yeah, it could be done. It could be done. And it was possible to make pancakes that way. Yes, it was. And a little dangerous, but you're already in prison. What are they going to do, throw you in prison? There we go. But, okay, people like to eat. People like to eat new things. If food can be bought at the commissary, if food can be smuggled out of the dining hall, do it. I mean, these folks are creative. So a lot of talk in prison. And, yes, there is talk about prison gardens. He said, unfortunately, because of budget cuts, a lot of that thing is not doing so well now. Mm-hmm. And in his situation, he had access to a prison garden for a while. They would only let him grow herbs. They didn't want to get them into growing vegetables. I don't know why. Could vegetables use as a weapon or something? I don't know. But
tomato fight.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But you know, that was a big deal. That was a big deal to be able to have access to things to eat. Yes.
To grow things.
It's
a hopeful experience, growing things.
Yeah, there you go. Now, not everything is based on ramen here, although that's a good start for a lot of things. Here's a recipe called oatmeal shakedown. Ingredients: 2 packages instant oatmeal, flavored or unflavored. 6 tablespoons honey, 6 tablespoons peanut butter, 1 cup crushed ice, 2 teaspoons instant coffee granules, 1 cup water. Empty oatmeal into a large jar. Use a jar with a lid, preferably an empty peanut butter jar if you can grab one. This will be your mixer and one of your serving containers. Add the honey, peanut butter, ice, coffee, and water. Close the jar tightly and shake until it looks like a thick milkshake. This can be a workout for your arms. If you have access to a blender, you are clearly not in prison. Yes, and remember, a lot of the people, maybe some people that we know, are in prison. We're going to play a song here now. I love with like John Prine, and here's a fine song. He calls it Christmas in Prison. It talks a little bit about food, but it also talks a little bit about spending a long time.
It was Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my stream. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God. She reminds me of a chess game with someone I admire, or a picnic in the rain after a prairie fire. Her heart is as big as there's a whole goddamn jail, and she's sweeter than saccharin at a drugstore sale. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God. Searchlight in the big yard swings around with the gun, and spotlights of snowflakes like the dust in the sun. It's Christmas in prison, and there'll be music tonight. I'll probably get homesick. I love you. Good night. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God.
That was Christmas in Prison by John Prine. His first verse of that refers to Christmas in prison, and that they dined on turkey and pistols made out of wood. I have no idea what pistols made out of wood is. Maybe it's a food stuff. John Prine, if you're listening to this radio show, email me and tell me what pistols made out of wood is, or actually somebody else out there might know what pistols made out of wood is. You can contact us at khoiradio@gmail.com. Kind of put Donalena Kitchen in the headline there. Also, something else going on this week. People are...
Several somethings.
...are marching on Washington this week, concerned, as many of us are, but people are willing to put their bodies on the line for this. There's sit-ins
and we hope
rallies.
They don't go to prison.
There 400 people have been arrested already this week. There we go. It's called Democracy Spring, and... Where but the United States could we use a little bit more democracy? So people are marching on Washington, talking about campaign finance reform and better voter representation, and talking about democracy for all of us. That's going on this spring, yes. Also, this week, actually, it started out as a rally by the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, and people marched or walked all the way to Washington, D.C., and it's growing. Other people are going to be sitting in and protesting and talking about a lot of relative things, maybe even talking about good food for everybody to eat. There's going to be some upcoming events here in the Ames area. Donna, what's going on?
Yeah, Saturday, the Mustard Seed Community Farm, which is our local Catholic worker farm. It's all volunteers, and they give away all the food. not a normal capitalist venture there. Anyway, the Mustard Seed Community Farm is having a spring fundraising extravaganza. That's Saturday, this April 16th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the basement of St. Thomas Aquinas Church at 2210 Lincoln Way. So there will be dinner followed by square dancing with the live band, the Porch Stompers, and our very own Lana will be doing the calling of the dances, and I'm going to be cooking some of the food. There will also be a craft sale featuring pottery, candles, rag rugs, and more made by the Mustard Seed Farm team. So give Alice McGarry a call at 515-460-1467 or go to mustardseed.farm.org. So this is Saturday at 6:30. Come on round.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to find yourself a farmer. Speaking of which, thank you for being with us today, Joshua.
Thank you for having me.
We've had Joshua Walters talking about yardens today and good food for everybody. Yes, everybody should have that.
We're looking forward to those 30 varieties of tomatoes.
They're delicious.
Five varieties
and
of basils,
and
at least.
More, yes.
Sounds like an excellent bruschetta right there.
It can't come soon enough for me. I am just warmth. Bring me the warmth. Come on.
Put that on some bread with a little mozzarella cheese on there. Stick
Absolutely.
It in the oven.
It is nice to talk about food around the kitchen
yes.
table.
The coming of the gardens.
Yeah, and this is the time of the year. Gardens take time. So find yourself a farmer like Joshua Walters here, or find yourself a farmer that grows things all kind of in a bunch someplace. This is the time of year to be thinking about CSAs and farmers markets. And because when you come up to a farmer at the farmers market booth or wherever you're going to buy from, and you say, oh, I want to buy 2 bushels of cucumbers long about, you know, middle of summer. And it's not like he can just reach into the truck and pull them out. Talk to farmers about what you might want to grow later. We'll grow them. Yes, we will. Joshua mm-hmm. and I will get. We'll grow them. But it does take time. So let's do a little
what's
pre-planning.
The first date that the downtown farmers market is open?
Oh, farmers markets all over Iowa are opening. And a farmers market That's downtown right. in Ames will be opening on May 7th. That is the second Saturday.
And Lana and I will be there.
Oh, yes.
Broadcasting.
That actually happens to coincide with the fundraiser for this very fine community radio station, KHOIFM.org 89.1. There is a fundraiser going on. And
that week,
we'll be doing fun and frivolous and exuberant things.
These people are awesome.
We have a good time. This is community radio, yes. And we will be broadcasting from that farmer's market. So come and say hi. Come and say hi on the radio. This is community radio.
Or come and
radio.
See us at the Mustard Seed Spring Fundraising Extravaganza. That's Saturday night at 6:30 at the basement of St. Thomas Aquinas Church right here in Ames.
Yes. Been listening to the Dunalana Kitchen. We've talked about yardens with Joshua Walters and food in prison. We've talked about prison ramen. So all of the things that we share, when we share food, it's an important thing. And I had this great book, Prison Ramen. You can find that at the Ames Public Library. The music today, we had some music by Joe Burke and Charlie Lennon, and also music by John Prine. Great song about Christmas in prison. And we'll go out with some jigs and reels from the Bothy Band. Yes, yes. Find us anytime here. The Dunalana Kitchen comes to you live Tuesday at noon, repeated at 7 p.m. Find us anytime on the web, khoifm.org. And find our archives and recipes on khoifm.org, too. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintos.
We've had excellent engineering by Richard Morrison. Eat good food and enjoy life.
And grow some food, too.
Yes.